Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Ann Baldwin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of The Connection. Again, I am one of your co-hosts, Ann Baldwin, and I am so happy to be joined again by
Lisa DeMattis-Lepore, the CEO from The Connection. Good morning, everyone. Glad you're tuning in.
Well, you know, today is kind of a tough day. A lot of the subjects that we talk about, Lisa, on the show are complicated. You know, there's things that happen to us that are beyond our control. And on this particular program, we're talking about Hurricane Harvey and the devastation that it's having on Texas. You know, you say Houston, but it's the surrounding area. And that's why we have Vicki Alston here. And Vicki is the interim director of behavioral health for The Connection, also a licensed social worker and therapist. And just, I can't even imagine what people are going through out there in Texas. So to get a real life testimonial of the havoc that's being raised out there, we have Ashley Marcella on the line. Where are you right now, Ashley? Are you in Houston?
I'm in Sugarland, Texas, which is just south of Houston.
Okay, and we'll apologize in advance if you know, the audio levels aren't great with Ashley, but she's on a cell phone. So why don't you start by painting the picture of, you know, what you've kind of gone through, Ashley, the past couple of days.
Past couple of days is an understatement. So we got the alert on Friday that Hurricane Harvey was going to hit. We didn't really know what the magnitude of the storm was going to be. So thank God Taylor's out there visiting her grandmother. So I have a six-year-old daughter. So we packed up the dog, packed up as much stuff as we could, and we went just north of us. We're kind of close to the coast. We're about an hour from Galveston. So we went north of us in an area called Briar Forest. We were there, hunkered down. We were stuck there for about 5 days. I mean, it was like just torrential downpours. Everything seemed to happen at night. Like, everything was kind of fine during the day, and then at night it would just hit. And just when we thought it was over, it would hit again. And then when we thought it was over, it would hit again. And we actually had to evacuate again today because now all of the levees and the reservoirs are so overwhelmed with water. The river close by is usually at 10 feet, and it's at 59 feet. So now they're saying that there's a risk of that overflowing. And once that overflows, our levees are going to break. So we're not through it yet, but we're trying. So we're evacuating again today to get somewhere north of us so that we're out of this levee district that's about to overflow.
So, and from what I understand, you live in a first floor apartment.
Yes.
Gone.
We actually were able to make it back here today, and just a little bit of water, so we were able to get some stuff off the ground, and we're taking as much of our valuables with us as we can, but we're not sure what we're going to come back to. They're saying when the levee breaks, we're going to be getting 4 to 6 inches of water an hour.
Well, I got a full disclosure here. I just got to come out and admit this. This is my daughter. Ashley's my daughter, and my six-year-old granddaughter that Ashley talked about is with me. So this is the first time I'm hearing that you have some possessions left, and I'm just so grateful for that because, you know, Taylor, I'm sorry, I'm losing it. Taylor is here, and she's like, well, I said, your American Girl dolls are up on the shelf, and she said, but my Barbies aren't. You know, and she's all worried about her Barbies and her clothes because she's a little fashionista, so.
No, we're able to get off the ground. We're hoping there's still a mandatory evacuation for our neighborhood, so we are going to leave, but we're hoping that the levees all hold and, you know, we don't have to come back and deal with this.
So let's bring Vicki in here. Vicki, I mean, you know, Ashley's there in the midst of all this, and so are thousands and thousands, if not millions, of people in the Texas area, right? But, you know, here I am as a grandma with my granddaughter. My daughter's going through this. So, I mean, where do we begin? I mean, let's start with Ashley, because Ashley's in the midst of an evacuation as we speak, and she's got to go. What can you tell her? I mean, I know that you have, at The Connection, you have this program, this art program that's a visual program, but you're training over the years. You've dealt with situations like this. What's your best advice?
Well, I think reaching out for help is certainly, Ashley, which I hear you are, is the first step. And I'm sure it's hard to identify where those resources are. So I do hope and I expect that they are providing you some on-site, you know, critical debriefing support services. I'm sure that they have mobilized them, and hopefully if you've not been able to identify where they are, to really do so. Here in Connecticut, we do have the founder of this terrific therapy approach. That's called accelerated resolution therapy, and it is an eye movement therapy. Part of what's important about accelerated resolution therapy is people live with trauma, like you're going through a significant trauma. I actually got real emotional just hearing your situation. I was actually a responder to 911 when I actually worked for the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services here in Connecticut. I feel very much for your pain and your losses. I was asked to talk about accelerated resolution therapy, which is a evidence-based model that has been around only really since 2008, and it has grown to the point where we have, at The Connection, embraced it to be able to be a training center for clinicians so that we can have more clinicians in Texas. People come nationally to our agency to get trained. And I actually said before we started, Ashley, I'm going to look to see if there's some art-trained therapist down your way. They are listed on a website.
Because I would assume that, you know, Lisa, you can speak to this, is that what she's going through now is horrible, but it's like, you know, PTSD, right? This stuff doesn't just go away.
Ashley, I'm thinking about you, and, you know, I'm here with your grandma and your beautiful little daughter, and, you know, your mom's got that worried look on her face. I know that look, being a mom. But yes, I think you're going to, you know, need to take care of yourself. And right now you're in survival mode. And once this, you know, starts to get somewhat better, though it's going to take a while, you really need to take care of yourself, because for yourself and for this beautiful little girl of yours that's here in Connecticut, safe and sound with Grandma Ann.
Well, and let me ask you flat out, Ashley, I mean, do you feel guilty that Taylor's not with you?
No, if anything, I feel relief. I know how I am, and I'm like a very panicky person. So I feel like if she was here, I would be in more so survival mode. I mean, I'm in survival mode now, but I'm a lot less worried than I would be if she was here. I would think twice about getting on the roads and trying to evacuate over and over and over again. Obviously, that's not an easy thing to do, and I can't imagine doing it with a five-year-old. I mean, it's just, it seems to be, it would be impossible. I mean, and I thank God that I have Brady here, who's been my boyfriend now for 9 months. And, you know, he comes from an Army background, so he's kind of like, I'm not going to let anything happen to you. And he's kind of been my rock and my calmness through all of this. So it's been awesome. And thank God he has a big truck that we're able to get through some high waters. And just everything seemed to work out.
So, Vicki, let me ask you this. For, you know, people like Taylor, and there's a huge social media network, you know, it's people are saying things to each other on social media that I find, you know, comforting in some cases. So what can Ashley and the other folks out there do right now until they can get into a program where they can take this trauma and deal with it? What's your best advice? Deep breaths?
Well, I was just going to say, Ashley, my sense is that you're experiencing some problems with sleep. You may be experiencing some problems with focus. Sounds like you may be experiencing potentially some anxiety that's creating some panic for you. So I do think that self-care as much as you can, and I know that you're having to relocate again today, and so it feels so simplistic to say that, but to definitely take care of yourself. And I can't emphasize enough, reach out and find out who those resources are for you in one way or the other, whether it's clinical resources or just other people besides your boyfriend. I want to tell you that, is he actively in the military?
He's not. He's out. Well, he'll officially be out. His 8 years will be up in October. So okay. He could get called back, but I don't foresee that happening.
So he's your foundation right now, it sounds like. He sort of has been through combat in some ways. This is like being in a combat zone. Exactly.
And it's crazy to see how he handles it. He's very opposite of me. I'm very high-strung and anxious, and he's very just like calm. You know, we're going to do what we got to do. So that's been good for me. And if I'd been here alone, I don't know what I would have done.
Absolutely. So have schools started out there?
Yes, but everything is basically shut down until after Labor Day at this point. So
how bad is it? What are you seeing, and how are people feeling that you've talked to? I mean, everybody's kind of going to, not to be flippant, but in the same boat.
Yeah, everybody's just kind of panicked. I mean, we drove through our neighborhood today, and there's some parts of our neighborhood that are 5 feet underwater. You can't drive a car through. You can't get out. People are trapped. The Texas rescue team was out here at our apartments, I guess yesterday, getting the rest of the people out to make sure that they were safe and to safety. And it's crazy because right now the sun is out, and you know, the driveway and the entrance is all clear, but you can go a block up and they're completely flooded up to their entire first floor. So it's crazy. I mean, I'm thankful that we're in the condition that we are right now, and I know it's just the beginning, but there's a lot of people that have lost their lives. You know, there's a family of six that was in a minivan that went into some high flood waters and unfortunately passed. And more of these stories are going to be coming out as we kind of recover from all of this. But people are bringing out their boats and trying to help as much as they can. And it really puts it all into perspective. And I know they say, Texas, we stand strong. And it's totally true. I mean, everyone's just come out of the woodwork and been so supportive. And I'm very proud to live in this state.
All right. Well, you know what? I really appreciate you taking the time. Daughter, be safe. Continue to be safe. Taylor says hi. We love you. But I know you're in the midst of another evacuation, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go. And then Vicki and I and Lisa are going to continue this conversation about, you know, what folks that go through something like this can actually do. All right. Be safe, hon.
All right. Love you. I'll call you when we get to our next location.
Wherever that is, right?
Be safe, Ashley.
Be safe, Ashley.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, and it's interesting too, Vicki, because I know her, you know, and we have the same exact personalities, and we don't deal with stress well, but what we do deal with it. Like, what you see is what you get. We don't hold it in either. So is that good or bad?
I think it's good not to hold it in. Mm. I think that the more you hold in, the more the body sort of holds the pain and you get symptomatic. You know, like I was saying, she's probably not sleeping well. Mm-hmm. So for her to talk so openly and candidly as she did right now about the trauma that this is bringing her is a good first start, like I was saying to her, in reaching out for some help. And that's what actually art therapy is, a really good tool that way. It is like the concept is you keep the knowledge and you lose the pain, mm-hmm. you know. And even she could do some eye movements on herself and to do relaxation techniques. So that's really important.
Right. And and you know, it's the panic attacks. Have you ever experienced?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's how you breathe, right?
Exactly.
So those panic attacks can be overwhelming. And I don't speak for everybody, but I know I used to suffer from them horribly when I drove on the highway. I would have a panic attack. And it was all in my breathing. And then once I had one, if I got another one, it just got more and more debilitating. And then I finally figured out, and you know, it's funny that you mentioned this because it was about my eye movement. And my father figured it out because I was spending too much time looking in the side and the rearview mirrors. So my eye movement was making me have these attacks, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
Instead of looking straight ahead, you know, just that's all you can really worry about. And your eyes aren't moving all around, then I could drive again. Mm-hmm. So there was about a year and a half I couldn't drive on a highway without having a panic attack. And now, look out, because I'm pretty good on that highway.
And what helped to resolve that for you?
That was just my eye movement.
That was it.
Looking in those mirrors, just staying focused.
Right.
So again, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Vicki Alston. She's the Interim Director of Behavioral Health Services for The Connection, and Lisa DeMattis-Lepore, who is the Executive Director at The Connection. Lisa, you've been in this field for a long time, and if people could see the look on your face, I mean, this is pretty serious stuff, right?
It is. It really is. I can't just imagine what your daughter and the folks are going, what's happening in Texas all over the news, and it must be difficult for people who, like yourself, that have family over there or not have family over there to really understand what's going on. It makes me think of, in some level, the, you know, again, we go back to the 9/11 issue, and it's one thing to see it on TV, and it's another thing to have gone down to Ground Zero and to have, you know, seen that firsthand myself. Because my husband, we were dating then, but he was living in New York, and we went down there, and it's completely different. But I'm happy that your daughter is talking about it, and that she's said she needs help, and she knows that she does, and the fact of comfort, and many don't have that, that their child is not in that condition.
Right.
But still, I am happy that your daughter has a strong support network. And I think that's really key, because imagine if she was alone. I can't imagine that.
No,
really.
I can't either. And just the trauma of that. But, you know, people do come together. But it's interesting, because I was getting my nails done the other day, and my nail lady was talking about how she's from Vietnam, and a family of six, and they had a huge natural disaster there with flooding. She said she and her family sat on the roof for 5 days waiting to be rescued. And she's still impacted by that. She said her entire family has had some issues because of that. So, you know, these are things that can stick with you for a long time. And, you know, Vicki, you said that you worked, you know, through the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services on 9/11. This is the kind of trauma that doesn't just go away.
It doesn't go away. And I think what also we've learned in the field, and what Lainey Rosenzweig's brought through art, has been a gift, because the body stores, the brain stores the trauma, the body holds it, and it's there somewhere. So that means that the answer to heal is in our body. It's there. It has the answer for us. How do we access it? Talk therapy is not always what works. Mm. It does for many people. But for things like this, the trauma using the eye movements through, and that's not new. Art has not been the first
And what
treatment.
Does art stand for?
It's accelerated resolution therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's been around eye movement treatments in other formats. But I think what's important about this is you get beyond the talking. Sometimes, for instance, the individual you're talking about, your daughter, when she has the opportunity to get the treatment she needs, accelerated resolution therapy, the individual doesn't have to tell me what's going on, what happened to them, like she just talked now, okay? She can heal herself by actually voluntarily changing that image in her mind through eye movement, through a protocol. And by the end of a 50-minute session, the pain may be relieved, literally. The situation happened, it's real. That never changes in our life. But to have an opportunity to use a tool that neurobiologically works through the body to bring the positive images to replace that experience doesn't say it never happened. It's like painting over. Literally, the technique includes painting a wall, putting a color over it. That's
physically you do that, or with just
that's
your eyes?
Part of the protocol.
Okay,
and it's very directive. You paint over it. You put a picture there. But we may not know what your daughter Ashley, let's say if she does decide and I can access some resources for her, what that might look like for her. And then you put, well, it's exactly what happens. You're doing that in the brain. You are restructuring that image in the individual's experience.
Why is that different than meditation?
Meditation does not include a directive protocol, okay? That's a wonderful tool. Mm. Meditation is very relaxing. You can actually go to a safe place. You can create a picture in your mind. But what's different about art is it has the protocol that actually is very sequential, very, very sequential, so that the actual image is gone, potentially. The image is gone of her having to sort of relocate repeatedly, having her be so close to the experience of a family of six dying. Okay, the image and the intense pain and emotion of that will relax, okay? But a lot of it is needing to change the image permanently. That is what actually helps the body to ease the strain and the stress.
And if you want more information on this program, you can call this number, 855-435-7955. That's the helpline. Again, 855-435-7955. or there's also some great information on the website at The Connection Inc., all one word, theconnectioninc.org. Lisa, so we're talking in this particular about the trauma of Hurricane Harvey. What other kinds of traumas have people gone through that, you know, take advantage of this art therapy?
It really encompasses a large variety of trauma issues, domestic violence, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, being a veteran, being in the, you know, in the service and in military, what potentially seeing, you know, we have clients that have seen tragic things with regards to gangs and gun violence, and other things that are related to if their family members or there's generations there of abuse and what they've seen, homelessness. I mean, the list goes on forever. You know, there's so many things. Observing a family member, you know, who's been abusing your mother, who, you know, was a substance abuser, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, you know, you say, Vicki, that you don't necessarily have to know what the trauma was. So someone doesn't have to come out and say, I was sexually assaulted and thus I'm here for this therapy. You don't need to know that because it's all the same application.
There's a couple things you need. The individual needs to be able to move their eyes like you did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you need to be able to move your eyes. You need to be motivated for change. Okay. And you need to identify yourself. And if the person voluntarily wants to describe a bit about what happens, they can. You can, but you don't have to do that. So the motivation, being able to move your eyes and identifying something that you want to change. But the detail, we don't need that.
What about if somebody wants to stop a bad habit? In substance abuse, for example, or they want to quit smoking, or they want to, you know,
it works for that as well.
Does it really?
It works for addictive behaviors. We actually have had people. I'll give you an example. We recently had an individual who flew in from Canada for one of our trainings. I believe it was Canada or California, and would not go over a bridge. So during the process of the training, people are what's called. You choose to be a live demo. You choose to volunteer to say. Have Lainey practice it on you. That individual left day one of the training, had to drive down into Connecticut, a few towns over, and go over a bridge in Portland.
I know that bridge.
You know that
bridge?
That's
a big bridge.
So he actually had not driven on bridges for years. He went over that bridge. He took a picture. No distress. That 1 hour... example, we have a staff member who went through our training, I won't mention names, who couldn't touch a bird in a cage that she's had in her house for years. She went and touched the bird, took the bird out of the cage, felt compassion and sympathy and not fear because of how this protocol works with the eye movements combined with, you know, voluntarily wanting to change that image and being guided through that process. It's very safe. It's all the therapist guides a protocol, but the person, like let's say Ashley, is in charge. You decide what happens and how you access that information in your brain. It's very neurobiological. ART has been studied. It is a SAMHSA evidence-based model. It has been adopted by the military. That's why I asked about your Ashley's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. They adopted it as one of three key treatment interventions and combat veterans throughout the country, as well as Canada and other countries, have seen benefit, is my understanding. Lainey Rosenzweitz lives in Connecticut. She's a marriage and family therapy. Clinician, licensed, and she discovered this when using another technique called EMDR. People know EMDR, mm-hmm. It's an eye movement. And with her technique and how this has actually been so so honed in on the process that by the end, I've yet to see anybody not see healing happen, mm-hmm. is such a gift that we actually are grateful. And I thank you, Anne, for the opportunity to come here today and start a conversation about accelerated resolution therapy. And I will, when I leave here, look to see what resources there might be in the Texas area. I know people can't get there, but we have the technology. We have iPad, we have FaceTime,
right.
We have all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And there's ways that people can get treatment.
And it's not over yet, you know.
It's not over yet.
First of all, you got to talk. You know, you just got your physical being right, and making sure that you stay safe. But then you know, making sure that you reach out. And just because the event itself isn't over doesn't mean that the trauma is. Again, the phone number, if you're interested in art therapy through the Connection, is 855-435-7955. That is the info line, the helpline, I should say. Or you can go to the website at theconnectioninc.org. Theconnectioninc.org. You know, I got to tell you too, when I was in rehab, we did this thing called Diksha. It's an energy healing thing. And I walked in, it was a lot of holistic approaches to recovery. And my mind was not open to that. But then I said, well, I'm here for 28 days. Either I open my mind up and try to figure this out, or I go back to where I was at. So that, thankfully, is the option that I chose. But it was amazing. Once you open yourself up to this, and like you said, you let yourself give in to what you said is a proven therapy, the results can be amazing. This Diksha they put, these people are trained to do this, and just the energy that you felt when they put their hands on your head, it was almost something surreal. It was just amazing. So, you know, unless you've tried it, you know, what, you know, you can't go wrong. And you talk about you haven't seen anybody yet, and it's been studied and proven, so what have you got to lose? Does insurance pay for this kind of thing, or how do you get into a program? You said it only takes about an hour, hour and a half?
Correct. So ART is paid by insurance. People do it through individual therapy. We actually have our clinicians using ART. We have it throughout the state. Basically, ART encompasses therapies that have been around a long time, like what you're talking about, gestalt therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, externalization imaging. And when we go through and train clinicians, I tell them, they get nervous because they have to practice the techniques. I'm like, you're a trained therapist. Only people who are licensed can get certified in this mm-hmm. and go through the training. So your experience, trust yourself. You will find the way. Just listen. And let the individual guide you. Let the protocol do the job. Because one therapist will not do it the same way as somebody else.
Right. Well, that's great. And, you know, Lisa, too, like in anything else, we've just got a few seconds left. You know, with medicine today, you know, and with these kinds of therapies, they evolve. And people study them. And you've got measurements of results. And so that's where how things evolve, right? And that's how we try to keep ourselves better. Any final words on your end, Lisa?
I just want to extend to our listeners once again that the first step really is, you know, reaching out to us and giving us a call for help. And so please do that. We would like to help you or your family members in any way that we can. And as I said before, if for some reason there's a service that you or your loved ones need that we don't have available, we will absolutely refer you to the right doors in Connecticut to get the help that you certainly need.
Right.
And, you know, we're here to assist also. Once again, Vicki, thank you so much for being here. And Anne, I know you're going through a lot right now, and so are the other listeners with what's happening in Texas. So lots of prayers and thoughts that people will be safe in the days ahead.
Absolutely. And we want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to this edition of The Connection right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.